Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Decoding TV bonus episode with me, David Chen, and Christian Spicer. Today, we're going to be discussing The Last of Us Episode 1. This is bonus material. Now, with most TV shows I recap, I have not been exposed to the source material. With this one, I have actually played the video game. I'm a huge fan of it.
The source material walked by, opened its coat, showed you everything.
thank you for that troubling image. I was thinking of replaying the video game like in advance of our conversations, Christian. But I decided, you know what, I'm not going to, because then if I forget something, you can like explain it to me on the podcast, and like people might benefit from hearing that. That said, The Last of Us Part 1 is on sale on PS5 as we're recording this, so I'm thinking of picking that up maybe. But the purpose of this bonus episode is we are going to be discussing some changes that the video game made, or that the show made to the video game story. I want to be really upfront and say I don't think what we will discuss can be considered spoilers. And we will try to avoid talking about like stuff at the end of the story or anything like that. But if you are really like spoiler averse, like you should probably just skip this conversation. But I will try really hard to like avoid any spoilers. We will talk about stuff that's different from the video game and how that impacts the storytelling in the show, though. So like that's kind of what the purpose of this conversation is going to be. So, you know, fair warning, you know, that's what we're going to do today. Christian and I are going to try to do a few of these throughout the course of the season. And when we do them, they will be available for paid members at decodingtv.com. This one is available for free for everyone, so you know what this is. But a huge thanks to everyone at decodingtv.com who's a paid member, and you can get access to early episodes, ad-free episodes, and bonus episodes like this one. Paid members at decodingtv.com are what allow us to do this podcast. Okay, so let's talk about changes between the show and the book. Potentially spoilery. Video game. I keep saying book because I'm used to doing that. All right. So, Christian, one thing you said before we started recording is that I mentioned, hey, it's weird that they keep bringing up the date on the show, or that they brought up the date on the show in 2003, but they don't bring up any other dates. So, like, maybe there's some significance to that date. We can reveal, basically, that in the video game, that date is like regarded as the day that the outbreak began. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is outbreak day. That is now, you know, it feels weird to say it like this, but celebrated by fans IRL as a last of like in 7 day for Mass Effect or what is it? Mario Day 3/10. Outbreak Day, September 26th. So Naughty Dog will often put out cool promotional stuff or art, or sometimes like the vinyl, you know, perhaps got released on that day, but is a fan celebration day of the day in the media that the world went to hell in a handbasket that now we celebrate joyously as fans of that media. So that, you know, that date being on screen felt kind of like a nod to the fans, mm-hmm. of like, this is the same day as before. And then we'll see if it's referenced more throughout the show in a way that, you know, the day that time stood still, perhaps. But it is significant in that way that it's like a fan event at the end of the summer every year of memorializing these games.
It's interesting. I wonder if it's just going to be a subtle nod or if they're never going to reference Outbreak Day again, you know, in the show. Who knows? But certainly in the video game, the date has some significance. So
yes,
one of the biggest changes I think the show makes, Christian, is the romantic relationship between Tess and Joel is explicit in the show, and I don't think it is in the video game. Am I remembering that correctly?
Certainly not as hammer on nail explicit, not explicit in terms of
it's not like graphic it's not graphic or anything, but it is clear that they are romantically involved in the show, whereas that is not true in the game. And I have to say, it kind of bummed me out that they did that. I don't know, like, what was your reaction? Like, did you have any reaction to that? Because basically there's a scene where Tess gets in bed with Joel and it's like, oh, they're a couple. That scene does not happen in the video game at all, and I'm curious, like, what you thought of the fact that it's now definitely a romantic relationship.
Yeah, I think it worked for me because I did see them as a couple in the game as well, with the context clues and things that are provided in that game. And I also find it interesting, though, that we see them in bed together. And when you see Tess come home from Robert's all beat up, you know, Joel doesn't appear overly sensitive. He's not sitting there gently cleaning her wounds or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He's still kind of a bulldog, and he wants to go kill or hit, you know, whomever did this. And even in their moments in bed together, it's not cuddling. You know, it doesn't seem super lovey-dovey as much as it does. Maybe they are partners of convenience in this cold, cruel world together. And so I think in that regard, I find that relationship fascinating, where they are business partners, but also, you know, their bodies have this primal need, and it becomes that as well, but they're not holding hands down the street. And so in that way, I think it says a lot about both characters and who they are, and not necessarily that they're, you know, they wear a broken heart necklace in each one of them, you know, has the other half of the heart.
I guess if I recall in the video game, it was very open to the interpretation that they were romantically involved, but like, it was not like clear about it. And I think I prefer that because, you can kind of write your own story in your head of like what that relationship was like, you know, like maybe they were at some point, but they're not anymore or whatever. But like, now it's clear that they are, and it makes it more conventional. I wonder if it's like, if the showrunners and the writers were like so worried that you'd have so much to wrap your head around in the first episode that they're like, okay, let's just make it clear that they're romantically involved, because otherwise the audience is going to be like, what's going on with these two? You know, because I think also, maybe this is true, I don't know, but like probably the events that take place in the first episode of the show, I think probably take a little bit longer to occur in the video game, if I recall correctly, right? Maybe, I don't know.
Yes and no. Sarah's moments are much longer in the show, whereas in the video game, you know, that initial moment happens, you play as Sarah, and I guess you can play as Sarah for a long time and kind of explore her home. Yeah. And with some objects you can pick up and rotate. But then it's the neighbor comes to the door, Joel's there, shoots the neighbor, and they're, you know, kind of off and running in that moment. So all that time we spend with Sarah is very different. And I think it is to let you feel connected to her and as if she is the protagonist in the show. Yeah. Whereas in the game, they're able to do that a little quicker because you are playing as her. And you're like, oh, cool, this is my controllable character.
And so I was going to bring up Sarah as another big change as well. But I think it's fair to say with the test stuff, not clear to me why they did it that way. But like, maybe they're just like, it's going to be more easy for audiences to glom onto. I don't know.
I think it is a neater package, a surrogate family, right? Like a neater, like it's not one random kid. It's like, oh, we have a surrogate family. Joel's a mess. Good luck. Have fun.
totally. But yeah, the Sarah stuff is interesting because basically in the video game, if I recall correctly, like there is a scene in the show where Sarah and Joel like meet for their birthday and like Sarah gives him the watch and stuff like that. And that's, I think, where the video game basically begins, like right around there, right? Like you don't go to school with Sarah. You don't meet any of, you know, she doesn't go to the watch person. Like none of that stuff happens in the video game. But yeah, I would agree that it's like, wow, interesting. Like they're really building up the Sarah character a lot more. And I think it's like, I think you're right, Christian, that like in the video game, you can control Sarah. You're like taking control of Sarah, but it's like, you don't get that luxury in the show. So they need to spend more time. It's almost like there's like the being able to play as the character ups, like gives you like, you know, 10 relatability points. And like, okay, seeing the character go to school gives you like 3 relatability points. Seeing them go get their gift for their dad gives them another 3 relatability points. And like, you know, like they felt like they needed to fill in the Sarah character more because you don't play as her, maybe. Or that it would be more effective if they filled that character in more because you don't play as her. Whereas, like, I would argue that the video game was equally effective in terms of the Sarah stuff, partially because you play as her. So it's just interesting to kind of consider why they decided to give Sarah a lot more story in the show, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I do think it is, like, how do you find those storytelling, air quote, shortcuts? And I do think making someone playable fulfills that expectation of major character, because how often would a video game company spend the time or resources to animate and make this character someone that you can control and spend time with if they're going to abandon that character model and all of that, you know, work for the rest of the game? And in film and TV, it's spending time seeing the world through their point of view, like you're them in terms of this world, and then to have that rug pulled out from under you, I think is just as impactful. But it felt like they needed to approach it in a different way because of the different medium.
Yeah. So I thought that was fascinating. We already talked in the main show about the Fedregard. Any other big differences? I mean, I think the way that all, like, Marlene and Joel and Ellie and Tess cross paths is a little bit different. I don't think there's that whole Tess backstory with Robert and the bat. Like, I don't remember Tess getting all messed up with the battery guy. Like, that didn't happen in the video game, as far as I recall. Like, but I think this is all just to kind of give you more character development for, like, there's way more character development for Tess in this episode than there was in the video game, as I recall, right?
Well, you spend a lot of time. I mean, there's also less killing in this show than there is in the video game. Like, you spend a lot of time as Joel and Tess going and hunting Robert down in the video game. And Naughty Dog, in my opinion, does an incredible job of environmental storytelling, where the NPC, your companion character, is providing meaningful information as you play, and it never takes the control out of your hand. Yes, there are cutscenes, but they do a really good job of having this cool in-world dialogue that often feels real and authentic and can break from moments of gameplay, but you get that exposition along the way because a video game is giving you things to do with your hands. So you're in undercover, shooting, killing, throwing, you know, bricks at people. And that quest to hunt and kill Robert is a lot of time played in the game. And that, I think, is where you get a lot of that Joel-Tess relationship. And the show doesn't do that. It's not a one-hour action episode of them, you know, breaking into Robert's compound. As you mentioned, we miss that action, you know, in the show entirely. And I love some of the other changes that feel like they're there for fans in a way, but they don't feel overly winky the way they happened in the Uncharted movie, another Naughty Dog game that has an adaptation. But like,
before you get to that, I want to hear what those are. But I will say, like, the whole battery thing felt like it was the only part of the show that felt like pretty video gamey to me. It felt like, oh, we got to go on this fetch quest to get this battery so that we can put it into another thing so that we can go to the next thing. You know? That was the only part that I was like, oh, it feels, you know, and maybe like showing up and all the people are dead is like a way to subvert that feeling, you know, who knows?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Anyway, so go ahead. What are some of the other changes that you as a video game player recognized?
Well, I loved the neighbors, Connie, and spending time with them giving them a name and a face, which I think is great. And that escape when they're in the truck. There's the scene.
In the video game, though, I think you do meet the neighbor. Like, the neighbors, something is wrong with the neighbors in the video game, if I recall correctly, right?
Right, but that's pretty much it.
You don't know who they are before something terrible happens, right?
They show up on the sliding glass door, and Joel, without, you know, thinking about it, kills them. And you don't spend time with them getting to know them as a couple or any of that stuff. And then when they're fleeing, excuse me, and in that smaller town, a truck T-bones Tommy, Joel, and Ellie in their truck. And I believe, you know, that it's like a big gas station explosion. And then the show, you have a moment where they're going and it's like, look out. And you see this truck come at them from the side of an intersection, but that truck misses them. And I like stuff like that. That's like, we're changing things. And again, they don't linger on it. They don't, Joel doesn't say, oh my gosh, that truck clearly, I thought for sure we were going to get hit by that. It just is a thing that happens. And then after that, they drop a freaking plane out of the sky.
Now,
and that's what takes them out. And I love that.
In the video game, you don't see the plane crash happen, I don't think, in the video game, right?
I don't think there's no plane crash.
Oh, there's no plane crash. Yeah, okay. So they just show up in town and it's already chaos, if I recall correctly. Did that happen? Am I remembering?
Yeah, there's chaos in the town and then they get hit by another vehicle.
Gotcha. Yeah. So yeah, that's wild that they like upped the ante when it comes to that scene, right? Really effectively, I thought. So any other of those little touches, Christian, that you noticed in terms of adaptations?
I mean, I think there's a lot with Marlene and Ellie that is different in terms of spending time with those characters. I think, again, you get to know Marlene in a way in this first episode more than you do in the video game in the beginnings of things. And I think that's really effective, again, in terms of storytelling that happens. One thing, and I don't know if there's more here in terms of spoilers, I will leave it alone. We mentioned about the date and how they put that on screen. And usually when you see something on screen, it's important later. The child who dies in the Boston QZ, they do a really good job of showing you that child's shoes as they walk through the woods. So that then you immediately know that is the body being burned later. Yes. You see those same shoes and it's correct. Reinforced storytelling. Sarah really lingers on Joel's knife.
Yes.
In the drawer.
Yes.
In a way that I don't know if that's just a video game kind of nod where when you play as Sarah, you'd walk around and you'd pick up items.
Right.
And look at them and then put them down. Or if that is something more, you know, about the significance of blades.
Right. As like we how is the knife going to come into play later in the show? And I don't recall a knife being particularly like emotionally important in the video game, right? Like
not for Joel. I mean, Ellie, and as in this pilot, no spoilers for later, Ellie has her knife and she's already used it in the pilot.
Right.
But yeah, for Joel, it's not a thing. And I found that.
It's a weird moment. Like why is she lingering on? Like, what is the import of this knife and will that be conveyed to us in the show? Or is it just a random little moment? You know, who knows? Like, we'll see.
And then the biggest one for me is this idea of getting Tommy. That's, you know, someone's probably yelling at me who just finished replaying the game and I haven't done it since The Last of Us Part 1 on PS5 came out. I've played it many times, but that's Joel's motivation is to save Tommy. And in a way that is not Joel's motivation in the game, you know, getting their gear back, getting their supplies, getting a cache of weapons, getting all this stuff is the driving force. And spoiler for the game, Tommy is relevant much later in the game in a way that in the show right now in the pilot, it feels like Tommy is
the driving force. Yeah.
Or Joel's driving force. And that is not the case in the setup of the video game.
It'll be really, that is a major change, right? That is basically Joel is motivated by Tommy in the show. In the game, he's not really at this stage, certainly at this stage. I am really curious what changes they're going to make with Tommy. Like, maybe Tommy is dead. Maybe he's, we don't know what Tommy's state is going to be in the show. So
yeah, they imply he's probably dead.
Yeah, they imply he's dead, but who knows? So, like, and also, like, at this stage of the game, was Tommy in the opening scenes of the game? I don't remember.
Yeah, Tommy's with you in the truck. It's the same. Got it. Like, Joel's the jerk who doesn't want to stop. It's funny, I say, you think something confidently, and then you say something as like the quote unquote expert on a podcast, and as soon as the words leave your lips, you're like, oh no, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, no, it's all, I'm sure you got it right.
But Tommy for sure saves Joel from the army at the time, agent at the before Sarah dies. Tommy shows up again and comes back.
What do we think about this being Joel's motivation? They're like, I think it's fine. I think it's like what's the case for Joel being motivated by Tommy at this stage, right? Because in the game, he's not motivated by Tommy. He's more mercenary in the game at this stage, right? He's more like, I just want what's mine. I just want the money, blah, blah, blah. The fact that he's motivated by Tommy in the show means like he still cares about family and people in a way that you didn't get a sense of that at this stage of the game. And whether that turns out to be more emotionally satisfying or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I do think it definitely changes things. You know, what do you think, Christian?
I agree. It humanizes him in a way that the person who cares about arguably the only family they have left versus the person who is about to win the lottery if they deliver this cargo from point A to point B, I think is a different person. And I think in contrast to the other things we see Joel do in the pilot episode, I think it lets me hope that Joel is a good person. Whereas in the video game, I don't know if I need to hope if he's a good person because he's me.
Yeah. You're playing Joel.
And I'm a good person. So I kind of put myself on him and be like, we're clearly the good guy here. Mm-hmm. And I think without that Tommy motivation, I don't know if I think Joel's a good, he's selling drugs. He's burning bodies. Mm-hmm. He has a bad reputation with Marlene. Right.
Which, by the way, those are all show inventions too. Like he's not selling drugs in the video game. He's not burning bodies in the video game. I'm just fascinated in general. Like I'm hoping we're saying interesting things about it, but like I'm just fascinated by all these decisions they made because like every one of these decisions has an impact on your feelings.
Hopefully.
About Joel. Yeah. And what as you say, it's like mostly negative impacts on Joel and some positive ones. And it's like, hopefully at the end of the day, it balances out to roughly what you feel when you're playing as Joel in the game, right?
Or so. For what you should feel about him in this story, you know, maybe by the end of it, Joel is Walter White. I don't know. You know, they've already, they haven't taken that big of a swing with the character of who Joel is. I think they are walking that line of like cold hearted, but used to have love in his heart and like had a good relationship with his daughter, seemed like a loving, caring guy trying to get by, but clearly his daughter loved him and he loved her. And at this point of the show, I don't know where Joel ends up. And I find that super exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. You know, one thing that didn't hit me the right way was there's this scene where it's a classic scene in TV shows and movies, Christian, where character looks at his own hands that are stained by the blood of someone else, right? Very common scene of like, what have I done? And it's like, given what we know about Joel, he's burning bodies, he's dealing drugs, he's Marlene's like, I know what you're capable of. So he's probably
terrified of him.
Right, Robert's terrified. So it's like the idea that Joel would feel guilty about murdering that dude at the end, like it doesn't, now that I think about it, it doesn't quite fit with that version of the character, you know? So I think it's fine so far, but I am curious, like, is at the end of the day, are we going to get a version of Joel that feels plausible and consistent throughout, you know? There's signs that that might not be the case, but we'll see. It's still very early days. So
yeah.
Any other thoughts on adaptation with the first episode?
I am most excited to hear what other people think. You know, on the main episode, I'm excited what newcomers to the series think. And here, with this bonus stuff, I'm very excited to see what people who live and breathe the games like I have, and certainly you've experienced them as well, what their thoughts are coming into this franchise and taking it in. Because for a lot of adapted media, I am like you, I'm not super familiar with the source material. So I love seeing this, and I'm sure someone is doing an excellent frame by frame, you know, breakdown of all the things. I guess the other thing, my last thought would be, I think we mentioned it on the main show, Marlene's line of who the Fireflies are. I think they try to set the Fireflies out as good guys very directly and perhaps clumsily. And in the game, I think it's left ambiguous a little longer, and you, the show kind of hits at that too, where like a Firefly, you know, preacher, you know, tries to come by Joel and spread the good word. And mm-hmm. Joel's just like, if you finish that sentence, I'm going to break your jaw, or, you know, whatever he says. It's like, okay, I'm going to walk away.
Well, I think anyone that would paint the words, when you're lost in the darkness, look for the light, is definitely a bad guy, because that's just too obvious. It's too, I don't like the syntax, Christian. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, I would agree that they are clearly meant to be the good. You see Fedra hanging people. You see them killing kids. You see them imposing all these restrictions. So it's like, the Fireflies are clearly set up to be good. We'll see if that holds, right? We'll see if that holds. So, all right. Well, Christian and I will try to do a few of these throughout the course of the season, not necessarily every week, but a few of these throughout the course of the season. A huge thanks to the folks at decodingtv.com, the paid members who make this podcast and the bonus episodes possible. Christian, thanks for the chat today.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.